Thank you, Brother Tom. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but you're welcome to. Where's our memory verse? Psalm 73:24 is correct. What's it say? That's fair. Let's try it together. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Together. Again. Good. One more time. Great. Amen. You can trust your Bible. Yes. Brother Carl, would you pray for us, please? Amen. What book are we in?
First John.
First John's correct. In chapter 1, we learned that there's three misconceptions that man has three main misconceptions. We've got some other misconceptions, but there's three main ones. And then in chapter 2, we saw seven tests that prove that one really knows God. And then last week, we started into chapter 3, and chapter 3 and 4 have six tests that one really loves God. And we'll see how. I haven't been doing that great on these tests. I never did that well in school, as you can tell. I'm not doing very well on these tests. I would have done good in school if I hadn't had tests. It's a test that messed me up. Well, for the most part. Anyway, the first three verses we looked at last week was experiencing God's incredible love. Now, don't miss that part about incredible. It's not regular old love. It's incredible that God would love His enemy. That He loved me when I was against Him. He loved me when I was unlovely. He loved me when I was unlovable. It's incredible that He passed by my way. It's in the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It was eternal love. It's unchangeable love. It's unmerited love. We learned all that last week. I hope we did. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That's another amazing thing upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. And again, you don't have to wait till you go to heaven to find out if you're a son or not. You can know it right now. You be in the family right now and know that. Matter of fact, that's why 1 John was written. He says over and over and over again, we know, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, well, here it is. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't have to wait till you go to heaven to know it. You can know that you know that you know that you know you're saved. You can know it in your heart. You can know it according to the Word of God, according to the Bible. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, there's little John, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, He had a glorified body, but passed through walls. They were in the room with the door shut, and He appeared. We'll be a glorified body when we're like Him. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. And that hope goes back to chapter 2, verse 28, while we're looking for His appearing. If you're expecting Him to come back, if that war Brother Tom's talking about nudges you and you realize, hey, it's about time for Him to come back. See, that'll purify our lives. This week, if I'm thinking this week He's going to come back, I don't want to have my hand in the cookie jar when He comes back. It'll purify us. That's the first test. Test number two is verses 4 through 9 here. Turning away from sin and its enslavement is a proof that one really loves God. That's one proof. Let's look at verse 4 here. It says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And last week we looked at some things. Sometimes we like to call sin a mistake, or instead of saying I was a drunk, we'll say I was an alcoholic, something like that. Try to cover it up, smooth it over, get a different word. But it's sin. It's sin. Sin's choosing my own way and doing my own thing. Once we get saved, many times a day we make choices. And this is spirit and this is self. Spirit or self, spirit or self. Many times a day I'm faced with these choices, spirit or self. And the most wicked thing Brother Rick can do is go his own way. Go his own way. But sin is choosing to go my own way, living like I want instead of like what God wants. Sin is disobeying God, disbelieving God, ignoring God, rebelling, rejecting. Sin is unbelief. For 21 years I lived in unbelief. I believed in my head, but not in my heart. I've never received. The Bible believe is to receive. I'd never received Him. I was lost. I did not have God in my heart. I did not have Jesus in my heart. Sin is missing the mark. It's an error from the right path. It's ungodliness, unrighteousness, transgression, trespassing, disobedience, refusing to hear. Lawlessness, rejection, it's sin. Now, back to 1 John here. We're on verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin.
Right.
Verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Now, everyone sins every day. It's talking about a manner of lifestyle. It's talking about your ordinary.
Right.
Your ordinary. Proof of deliverance is that you turned from sin.
Yeah.
Sin is a lifestyle. Sin is a general, everyday item.
Right.
Sin is not the dominant focus of your life now. Everyone trips up. Everyone trips up. When we're talking about your major life. Life where sin is not normal, but an abnormal moment of defeat is what we're talking about. You don't live in sin now. There's the part of you that got saved doesn't sin. And we still have the old man. Not a constant, deliberate sinner is what we're talking about. Not a constant, deliberate sinner. These are the characteristics of the Lord that's going to be in us now. And this abiding is what's really going to help.
Right.
Living in Him.
Right.
Living in Him is going to help us defeat the enemy. It's going to help us defeat falsehoods, is what we learned last week. So my standing before God, when He moves in, God looks at me as His own son, and my standing is perfect in
right.
Him.
Right.
Now, my state, many times I mess up my state, and I go in the flesh. Like I said, like many choices a day, sometimes I choose what Rick wants. Sometimes I choose chocolate ice cream and just get what Rick wants. My state is imperfect. My standing in God's eyes, He put me in. Sinning is not something we enjoy. It's something we instantly regret.
Think about that.
The person who can sin without a sense of shame and even shock has never seen Him. It says right here in verse 6, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, it's talking about a lifestyle of sin, hath not seen Him, neither known Him. A belief that behaves is what we get. If I don't have a belief that behaves, then I probably don't have a salvation that saves. I need a belief that behaves. Now, the apostle, it was unthinkable for him that someone would not do righteousness. Apostle John that wrote this, look at verse 7. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. John thought for sure we ought to do right. He couldn't imagine anything else.
Right.
He said, we're going to do right. And false teachers don't do that. They not only condone sin, but they make it a virtue.
Right.
And we've been seeing that on Thursday nights. I wish you could be there to see it all. We saw a little bit of it one Sunday night there. Behind false teachers is the devil himself. It's in verse 8. He that committeth sin, and again we're talking about a lifestyle. your whole life, really. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, sin did not begin on earth. It began in heaven.
Right.
It was imported. Our planet Earth was invaded from outer space. And the devil brought it with him. He that committeth sin is of the devil. And it's not just whose side we're on. It's whose seed we are. Let's look at it in verse 9. Did I read verse 8 yet? I did. Okay, verse 9, look at here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. See, the part that got saved, when Jesus moved inside you, that part cannot sin. I think just last week we used about the Indian that got saved, and he was saying he had a war in his heart. He had the old nature and the new nature. I'm going to say it again, even if it was last week. He said he had a black dog and a white dog, and they fight. And someone asked him, said, who wins? He said, it's the one I feed the most. And we have a new nature and an old nature, and I need to feed my new nature more than I feed my old nature. I need to feed my new nature because of the seed that's in me. We're not free to sin. We're free from sin. I got a new nature. A new nature. It's impossible for the new nature to sin.
Right. Right.
My old nature can. My old nature. I heard about two brothers that one of them needed a kidney. And the other donated a kidney. They both recovered. It took the donator a lot longer than the receiver. But the fact is, they both recovered. And this is the kind of love that the Lord gave us that's going to help us do this. A love for others. For others. The world is sure that you're going to have to purchase salvation. But for us, we know that God gave us salvation as a gift. It's from Him. It's for others. Everything He did was for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like Thee.
Yeah.
Salvation is not by works, it's by grace. The common people heard Him gladly, but the establishment, especially the religious leaders, they had done made up their mind that he was guilty and he must die. They'd done decided before the trial. They'd made up their mind to get rid of him. And that's carried over in today. Today, what we like, not you, I'm talking about America, talking about some churches, they want a hearer-friendly gospel, a gospel that's friendly to the hearer, that tickles the ear, no hell, no sin, easy listening, easy, no death, none of that kind of stuff. Now, test three proof of love is marked by love. The proof that one really loves God, it's marked by love. It starts in verse 10, goes through 17. Let's just read those together instead of a verse at a time this time, because it's all connected. Starting in verse 10, it says, in this the children of God are manifest or made known, is what the word means, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And again, we're talking about a lifestyle, not an individual act. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
Right.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now also I want to point out that that's plural. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The number three proof, the number three test is love. If people can clearly see that we love one another, they're going to know that that came from God. That's not normal. That's not natural. It's God's nature to love, not the devil's. Do I love my brother? Do I love my brothers? Love does not persecute righteousness. Doesn't criticize, oppose, or hurt. The world does. The enemy does. Love will prove we pass from death to life. I'm dead if I waste my life in rights, in righteous living. I'm dead. I'm dead if I do not partake of him. That's what the Bible says. It says in Luke, says in John. Let's look up some of them. You're looking at me like maybe you never heard this. I'm dead if I do not have the Spirit of him. Romans 8:9. Now, I got verses for those others there. I just thought you'd probably believe that. Romans 8:9. I'm dead if I do not have the Spirit of him. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the capital S Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. It's another test. Another test. Do you have him? Hath, right now. He that hath, present tense, the Son, hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ephesians 2:1. You're dead if you're in sin. I'm dead if I'm in sin. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know what quickened is? You're cutting your fingernails and you get down there too close and you go, oh man, that part's alive right there. It's alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, I was dead, but he moved inside. Chapter 4 here in Ephesians. I'm dead if I'm alienated from God. Ephesians 4:18-19. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. See, for 21 years I was ignorant. And I was unaware of my ignorance. Now I know I'm ignorant. That is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's a lost person. Chapter 5, I'm dead if I'm asleep spiritually. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See, I was asleep for 21 years. I was asleep. I was a space cadet. 1 Timothy 5:6, I'm dead if I live in pleasure. 1 Timothy 5:6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, a walking dead man. See, I was a walking dead man for 21 years. I'm dead if I do not have the Son. No, I already quoted it. Let's skip over that. I'm dead if I'm a religionist. Revelation 3:1. See, I was religious. I went to church. I went to church. I was lost. My parents were saved, but I was lost. My grandparents were saved, but I was lost.
Right.
My aunts and uncles were saved, but I was lost. I was dead. Revelation 3:1. And unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. And art dead. Love. Love does not hate. Cain did not love his brother. He murdered him. Everyone who does not love is a potential hater.
Yes, think of that.
Everyone who hates is a potential murderer. That's in, let's go back to 1 John. In the book. We're just reading a lot of verses. 1 John, that was 3. Yes, yes, that's in 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Right.
It said the same thing back in chapter 2, verse 19. And they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It says the same thing in chapter 4, verse 20. 1 John 4:20-21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Yeah. Amen.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So if I tell you that, you'll know I'm wrong. You'll know I'm a liar. And we see here God gave his Son for me. He gave his life's blood for me. He showed his love when I was unlovely. He showed his love when I was unlovable. He saved me when I was without strength. I might as well try to get to the moon. It's impossible to save yourself. He saved me when I could not. He saved me when I was ungodly. He saved me when I was a sinner. He saved me when I was an enemy of God. He saved me when I hated Him. The love of God will cause us to follow the Son and to love people. Galatians 6:10. Especially the brethren. And the sister. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 John. 1 John is where we're at. Be born again. We've got a newfound love. See, Judas betrayed himself. He let the cat out of the bag. Judas betrayed himself, and he showed that he had no love either for the master or the brother. He betrayed himself. The love of Christ constraineth me. See, a she-wolf has creature love. She loves her pups. But Calvary love, loves our enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Laid down His life. Then, verse 17 here again. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a calloused heart. That's a calloused, hard, cold heart. But in verse 18, we got the children. My little children, then we get made children. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, I don't want a calloused heart. The prodigal, he just wanted to be fed. And the guy outside the rich man's gate, he just wanted to be fed. He just wanted to get a meal. But the calloused heart didn't feed him. Then there's a condemning heart starting in 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If my heart condemns me, whoa, I'm going to have to stand before God and that's going to be even greater. See, sometimes we even let ourselves down. Sometimes I disappoint Rick many times, let alone the Lord, let alone the Lord. The heart is desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Whose heart, Brother Rick? Well, mine. Let's just start off with mine. Jeremiah 17:9. You can decide if yours is or not. Said the heart. I don't want a calloused heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, I don't even know my own heart. I need to run it by this. I need help. I need a lot of help. I don't want a calloused heart. Then there's a confident heart. Back in 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's what we're going to need. We're going to need to abide in Him. I need to abide in Him so I won't be ashamed that He's coming and I'll have confidence.
Right.
My confidence is in Him and He's going to help me do that. A confident heart. In the Old Testament tabernacle, at one end of the tabernacle was God. At the other end was the sinner.
Right.
And in between was the blood. We go through the blood and get saved, get our soul saved, get saved on the inside. But then in our daily walk, there was also another picture there. There was a laver of water where the priest could see self. They're like a mirror where he could wash up from that daily walk. It wasn't going to take him very many steps and he was already going to be defiled and need to wash up. We don't get saved again daily with the blood, but we come to the water of the Word.
Amen.
And get cleaned up daily.
Amen.
Get saved one time, and then you come back to the laver and get cleaned up. Because it doesn't take very many steps for Brother Rick to trip up. And he needs to wash up again. They washed their feet. They walked everywhere they went, and when they came in the house, it was a courtesy to wash their feet. To wash their feet. And that's what I... Let's look at that in Ephesians. That's going to be in Ephesians.
You're helping us.
It was a radical problem. It took a radical cure.
Yes.
Something had to die.
Yes.
For that blood to be there in the middle of the tabernacle. It was a radical problem. We have a sin problem. That's why we keep dying off. It's going to take a radical cure. Actually, it's going to take the blood of God, not those lamb's blood. The blood of God is going to cure me of that. It's going to fix me up. But then daily, Ephesians 5, oh, let's start in 24. Therefore, as the church, that's those that's been washed in the blood, is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then in 26, why would the church do this? That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word. The church has already been cleansed in the blood. But then daily, I need cleansing. Daily. I get dirty from walking through this world. It's a radical problem. It took a radical cure. And then it'll need to be a recurring cleansing. I need to come back daily, every day. Maybe more than once. Maybe more than once and get my feet washed. It's why we can have confidence toward God. Not because of something we've done, but because of what He did.
Right.
Because of what He did. Dr. Adam Clark, a Methodist preacher, theologian, he wrote an 8-volume commentary on the Bible. He wrote 8 books about the Bible. It took him 45 years. He was a very slow worker. He also wrote during that time 6 biographical books, biographies about famous people. And one of the youngsters asked him, young preacher boy, said, "How'd you get all that done? Did you pray about it?" He said, "No, I got out of bed." I should have that in the work lesson. I'm just telling you, that's how he got it. The commandment. Then we got the, let's look at 22 here and 23. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments." It didn't say you go to heaven because you keep His commandments. We're talking about answer to prayer and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then verse 23, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." Now, you know, in that Old Testament, you got Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Salam. But up here in the New Testament, I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to say Jehovah Jesus. I know someone's going to criticize me for that. Look, I'm not making up something new. Don't change the Bible. I knew He was a prophet, a priest, a king, a good man. I did not know Jesus was Jehovah. I did not know He was God. I was lost. I was ignorant, and I didn't know I was ignorant. The God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He was, and that was from the womb to the tomb, 100% God and 100% man. He wasn't half God and half man. No, He was 100%, 100%. We have to watch for deception here. Let's see. We got the Word, like 19 times in the New Testament. No one ever had a false Messiah until they rejected the true Messiah. Let's look at the verse 24 now. We're going to wrap up here. Verse 24 says, "He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him." Remember, that's what we've talked about the last 2 weeks. Is living in Him, dwelling in Him, and He in Him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the capital S Spirit which He hath given us. Abiding in Him. Test 4 is a clean heart. It comes from abiding in Him. Why, Brother Rick, would I abide in Him? Why would I read the Bible every day? Well, it's so I can correct my behavior. It's so I'll straighten up. Well, why would I do that? Well, so we don't destroy ourselves.
Right.
See, we're self-destructive. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down in Jesus' name.